I pay a bookkeeper, I don't know, 40, 50 bucks an hour. Mm-hmm. I bill out at $400 an hour. Mm-hmm. Why on earth would I be doing my own bookkeeping? Mm-hmm. So just to keep, as you grow, to really keep saying, this needs to be done. It doesn't need to be done by me. And to the extent of your ability financially, keep pushing it off your plate. Keep getting those things off your plate. Because to be the show pony, you can't be doing the workhorse stuff.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Coffee Break Podcast, where our mission is to share business ideas, practices, and strategies while we enjoy our cup of coffee. Today's guest is Britt Bolnick, and she is enjoying a cup of coffee. It looks to be an iced coffee, an iced latte, if I were to guess. But we're going to be enjoying a cup of coffee together virtually, while we're talking a little bit about time management and how to understand how to prioritize our time when it comes to time management. Very insightful takeaways for today. When you're talking about business ideas, practices, and strategies, this goes directly into the business practices side. Understanding how to manage our time is something that we all can get better at, and understanding how to prioritize it. That's going to be the topic of conversation today. But as you know, before we get into that, I do want to invite you to subscribe. You're listening to this on an audio platform. You're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to it. Hit the subscribe button. We've got a brand new episode every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m., and we want you to be a part of it. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss a single episode. Online, on the video side, we have Facebook and YouTube. You can follow us on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube, and you'll get that same video content right as we release it. So please make sure you're doing both of those things on the audio side or the video side. And you can find out more about all of the episodes that we have. We're nearly 200 episodes in right now. You can find them at lockdoc.net/podcast. Thank you for joining us today. Let's jump into this conversation with Britt Bolnick.
We got so much to say. We got a podcast to make. We're sipping on lattes, and it's time for a coffee break. Time for a coffee break.
Oh, yeah. Britt, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for being here today. Pretty excited to have a chat with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited as well.
And now, you said that you were from Maine?
I'm in Maine. I'm from New York City. I was born and raised in New York City, moved to Maine about 9 years ago.
Okay, I have a question for you. This does not impact our other questions that we're going to be asking you from Rapid Fire, but I do have this kind of ongoing thing. I'm a big coffee guy, okay? But I'm also a very, 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 very big pizza fan. I love pizza. So you're from New York City. What's the best New York pizza?
The best New York pizza, and I don't know if they're still there, but it was a place called Two Boots. And it first started on the Lower East Side, and then they had one in the West Village. But they have the thin, like, cornmeal Cajun crust. It's Cajun-inspired pizza. And honestly, I'm not a purist. You know, you can go to any Ray's on any corner and get New York City pizza. I love the Two Boots pizza with the Cajun inspiration and the cornmeal crust.
Interesting. I've never heard of that place before. So, like, Joe's is a pretty popular place. And Ray's, yes, there's like the original Ray's and then the real original Ray's and then the better original Ray's. And okay. Mm-hmm. Well, good. We'll have to, you're not sure it's still there. Two Boots, but it's not quite sure if it's still there. We'll have to check it out.
If it's there, it's in the East Village on Avenue A. I think that was one of their original ones.
And then obviously you have a preference for New York style versus Chicago style.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like I'm not a big dough person. So I really like thin, kind of crispy crusts.
Okay. Well, this is riveting conversation, so we'll continue on. But it's just a side passion of mine. I really like those two things, and so those are hot topics. Okay, moving on. We are going to jump into rapid fire, 5 randomly selected questions just to get under your skin with unknown point values, and then we will give you a score at the end. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, question number one. What is the easiest way to bring a smile to your face?
Really dry, dark, slightly twisted humor. Or completely twisted, actually. The darker, the better.
Just twisted humor.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to ask for an example, but I get the dry humor part. Question number two. What do you wish you had more talent doing?
Either yoga or singing. honestly, both of which I try to do and do very poorly and could enjoy if I didn't do them so poorly.
I went to a yoga studio. I did not do yoga, just for clarity in case anybody's wondering, but I did go to a yoga studio a couple of weeks ago for a tour, and it was a hot yoga studio.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked into this room, and they had like the infrared heat in there. It was like took your breath away, exhausted. And I was like, you actually make movement in here? And
anyway. Yeah, and let me ask you, how'd that room smell?
I didn't really pay attention to the smell because I couldn't breathe. So it really didn't matter what I wasn't smelling anything. I was really focused on how can I get breath in my, it was.
Yeah. It's brutal.
It's incredible heat.
Yeah.
I was like, this is intentional. Like you, anyways. Okay. Question number three. What photo have you recently seen that spoke to you?
Like a public photo?
There's not a lot of rules with this.
Yeah. Okay. Probably the photos that are coming out of the protests from the Supreme Court ruling.
Gotcha. Yep. I've seen a lot of those. Okay. Yep. Question number four, what have you found more helpful than you've ever imagined it could be?
Asking for help, paradoxically.
Ooh.
That was a rough one for me. And it is an incredible relief to understand that that is a viable possibility.
A lot to dig into there. Asking for help. I'm going to make a note of that real quick.
Oh, dear.
And then question number five. What have you recently found to be ironic?
Oh, Lord. What have I recently found? That's the really tough one. That's the hardest one. What's ironic is that despite the fact that we're all in it together, we take immense pleasure and amusement in fighting against each other.
That is very ironic.
That's all I got.
I like that. Very good answer. All right, we're going to give you a score of 732.
Awesome. Winning.
Maybe.
I mean, maybe the scale is like up to 50,000 and I just like tanked it, but who knows?
Who does Thank really? You. I mean, again, not a lot of rules in this game here. All right.
Awesome.
Well, thanks for participating. Well, welcome into the conversation. We've got some things to chat about today. We're going to be talking about managing your time. And I think that I'm going to say that there's a lot of us that struggle with that. You know, we try to use calendars, prioritize things, sticky notes. But, you know, it's occasional that people are late for things. Things run longer than need to be and all that. Yeah. But let's talk a little bit about that in terms of running a business, operating a business, and really trying to understand how to, understand how we can just be better individuals by managing our time. How about that? Will that work for the conversation today?
That's awesome. Let's do it.
Okay. Now, you've recently written a book. So tell us a quick highlight of the book, and you can let us know why you spelled words on it incorrectly. But anyways, if you give us a little bit of an intro.
Incorrect. Yeah. So the magic of what we're referring to here is the K, which is controversial, apparently. The magic of pending time in your sacred business, which is time management for freedom-seeking entrepreneurial women and organizational skeptics. So this is a book that contains a tool that I found that I created as a single mother trying to take care of a 2-year-old that I couldn't put down, sleep at least 3 hours a night, work 7 nights a week, and also start a business with sole custody of said clinging monkey child. So the K speaks to the fact that among magical identifying people, there are two kinds of magic. There's magic with a C, which is sort of like the, you know, Penn and Teller rabbit out of a hat stuff, card tricks, nifty, amusing things. And then there's magic with a K, which really speaks to the art and science of changing energy, which really can be anything from waking up in a terrible mood and deciding to feel better about the day to, you know, some of the fun things that we strive for, like more money or a partner that we really adore or a new home or a new job. But the idea of the K is that this is in order to receive something, you have to look honestly at yourself and change the things about yourself that are blocking that reception.
All right.
That's really it in a nutshell.
So going down to this kind of self-awareness factor, because I think that's kind of what you just identified, right? In order to make progress, you've got to first do some evaluation, understand kind of who you are and where you're at. Why is that important?
Oh, that's such a good question. That's important because for every human being I've ever met, myself highly included, mm-hmm. there are two parts of us always operating. And I'm going to say this wrong because I don't have a therapy background or degree, but for the sake of our conversation, there's our conscious mind. And then there is our /subconscious mind.
Okay.
Our conscious mind might want, in my case, 20 more clients or a really awesome, you know, partner before I found my husband or, you know, a promotion at work. And so that's what we're moving towards on the linear in current time basis.
Okay.
Our on or subconscious generally has beliefs, fears, baggage about that very thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're not aware of what you say you want, and then the reasons why you might not want it or be afraid of it or be blocking it, mm-hmm. then it's akin to your right and your left side of your body trying to move in opposite directions and you trying to win a race.
So I heard somebody talking about this the other day, and it was similar around the fact of like the self-limiting beliefs, those types of things. And I think the way that they were putting it was, in order to get different results, you have to start acting different or seeing yourself different so you act differently, effectively.
That's the second step. The first step is to actually, and there's a term for this. Carolyn Elliott is the person who I first heard use this term. So this is not my term, but her term for this is divided will. And the first step is understanding why you might not want or be afraid of or be attached to not having the thing that you say that you want. And here's a quick example, because I don't know if this helps your audience, but this helps me. If I say I want 20 more clients and here I am mm-hmm. busting my hump, trying to get more clients, doing more marketing, you know, talking to more people. If there's a part of me that is afraid, if I got 20 more clients tomorrow, I'd have to work weekends. I'd be put in a higher tax bracket and my taxes would increase. My partner would be intimidated that I was all of a sudden making a lot more money. I might get into trouble with the IRS because I've never dealt with that much money before. My, you know, sick cousin who I hate is going to come and ask me for a $20,000 loan and I'm going to have to deal with that. That's called divided will. Mm-hmm. So under the surface, there are all these reasons why I might be a little bit worried about getting 20 more clients. If I can't see that, mm-hmm. then I'm essentially using all of my energy to doggy paddle without understanding why I'm not moving.
Kind of like self-sabotage.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Divided will creates self-sabotage.
Interesting. So how do you get to the root of identifying that?
So this is also Carolyn Elliott. So Carolyn Elliott, I never had this book very far. Carolyn Elliott wrote a book called Existential Kink.
Okay.
Existential Kink is her tool for finding where your will is divided. And the simplest way to break it down is just to say, if I want X, a really hot new partner, here are 20 reasons why I'm afraid of that, resistant to it, or don't want it. I'm afraid. So, and then you keep listing it and you do it every single day. When I was working with some of these issues, I haven't done this in a while, but when I was working with some of these issues, I wrote 20 reasons a day for two weeks, why I might not want or be afraid of getting what I said I wanted.
And is that just effectively to identify it so that you can start slashing those items off the list?
Well, it's to bring it out of the shadow. The concept is that when things aren't acknowledged, seen, identified, they move into the shadow where it becomes kind of twisted, and then you self-sabotage. It's like you can't see what half of your body is doing.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the story that you're telling yourself in the back of your mind, but you're really not verbalizing it or identifying it. And that, so it's just kind of this constant turmoil that you're stuck in.
It's this constant turmoil that you're stuck in. Yes.
It's interesting. I think that there's a lot of validity in that from just taking it out of terms of the self-identification, but just processing struggles as a whole in the business, right? Because somebody, any just in life in general, I want to accomplish this, or this is a thing that we're trying to do. This is this project we're trying to implement. Maybe it's this new process or whatever. Well, we can't do it because all of these things that are going to be a problem. Okay, well, let's make a list of all of the things. Well, now that we've got that list, it's really only seven. Now, how can we work through the process to clean those up or fix those or right. solve those concerns while we're moving through that? So you're just saying, basically saying, do that, but for yourself in the things that you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, it means that all of yourself is moving in one direction without drag.
Okay. So once I've identified that, I want to accomplish this thing. I want to get 20 more clients. I want to grow my business five times, whatever the kind of thing is that you're working towards. Now that you've started to identify those types of things and the reasons why you may not, but you feel like you may not be able to accomplish it, what do you do with that?
So what you do with that is you keep it really conscious and you begin to, I mean, some of those things as they come up, once you can see them, you can realize that they don't really have validity. So, you know, if I want 20 more clients and what I'm really afraid of is like messing up and having the IRS come after me, well, 20 more clients would allow me to hire a bookkeeper. So I don't really need to worry about that, because if I'm making that much more money, I'll have someone else handle it and make sure. So you can start to you can start to solve for the issues, and you can also see what you're doing now isn't working. So if I'm terrified of making a lot more money and like people starting to ask me for money or me having to have those difficult conversations, well, I can see that there's some boundary work that needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And I get to have a lot more money and protect myself and say, you know, I'm simply not having that conversation with you, or, you know, we're not going there or whatever. So it starts to show you where the work is to get the thing that you want. That isn't necessarily all about the, and now I'm going to do this, and now I'm going to do this, but it's issues within yourself that need to be solved.
We understand the frustrations HOA board members and property managers face when deciding the best solution for their HOA and pool security. Should we use a keypad, hand out keys, or install a key card system? Do we even need cameras? These are some of the questions that are difficult to navigate, and we're here to help. At LockDock Security, we've spent over 20 years working with homeowners associations and property managers to find a system that best fits the pool and HOA needs. Camera systems for the front gate or front entrance, key card systems for the pool gates, or simply updating the gate so that it meets safety and code compliance. We like to take the guesswork out of the process to answer any questions and help find the right solution. Our mission is to help you protect your people and your property, and that includes pools. Contact our team today to schedule your free consultation for your community. I want to get into the boundaries thing in just a second, but I'm trying to wrap my head around what you're saying here, and maybe give a little bit of practical on my side. So I'm going to kind of verbalize this, and you tell me if I'm off base or not. So here, over the last year or so, we've been doing a lot of character assessment, personality assessment type thing. And one of the things that came out of that is it was very, very clear that I'm a very impatient individual. Now, I would say that a lot of people that have known me for a long time have picked up on that. I would have never said that about myself. Like from the standpoint of which it is, I just felt like I was fast paced. I just did the things and moved along. But at the end of it, very impatient. It's hard for me to, like, say, for instance, process a long string of data on a spreadsheet is to the point mind-numbing where I just want to just fall out of the floor. Because I've now realized that and been able to put context around it, it's done two things for me. One, understanding those parts of my job or those parts of the business that I have to do or that need to be done are not necessarily the things that I need to be focusing my attention on, because it's not going to get the best benefit. It's done that, but it's also made me aware when I go into those situations where the frustration is rooted from. Okay, so because I've now got an awareness on that, when those behaviors or those activities or those whatever start to populate up, I'm at least able to identify it and address it faster than, you know, what had happened previously where I just procrastinated, put it off, just didn't do it as a whole. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yeah. So in that case, I mean, it definitely helps for you to understand what's happening. And one of the pieces of the magic of bending time is delegation. Mm-hmm. So my best friend has this saying, I don't know if it's her saying or not, but she says, you can't be the show pony and the workhorse. So as you grow, the key to really having more, being more, having more of an impact, because all the women that I work with are sort of impact-based mm-hmm. and motivated, is to keep delegating. So the beauty of what you're doing is that you can see really well, what are those things that you absolutely rock at? And what are the things that you're okay at? There's, who is it? Oh my gosh. The Big Leap. Mm-hmm. I think Gay Hendricks, maybe. I think he talks about this. There's four quadrants, your zone of genius, your zone of excellence, your zone of competence, and your zone of incompetence. Mm-hmm. As you grow, you keep categorizing things. And part of what I have people do when they're first working with me is to actually spend a week clocking your time. Mm-hmm. What are you spending time on? Like, I am a terrible bookkeeper. Mm-hmm. I hate it. It makes me want to cry. I pay a bookkeeper, I don't know, 40, 50 bucks an hour. Mm-hmm. I bill out at $400 an hour. Mm-hmm. Why on earth would I be doing my own bookkeeping? Mm-hmm. So just to keep, as you grow, to really keep saying, this needs to be done. It doesn't need to be done by me. And to the extent of your ability, financially, keep pushing it off your plate. Keep getting those things off your plate. Because to be the show pony, you can't be doing the workhorse stuff.
All right. Show pony, workhorse. Got it. Now, so with this, I'm trying to mentally draw my, kind of navigate through this. So we first set out to kind of identify, do some self-evaluation, understand our conscious mind, unconscious mind, these types of factors. Now we're kind of navigating into, all right, these are the things that I need to put my attention towards and things that I don't need to put my attention towards, which brings us into kind of prioritizing our time and time management. Walk us through that. Yeah. Because you were talking before we started the recording a lot about how you're working with creatives and especially creative women. How is that applicable, or why is it important? Because, I mean, there's just things that have to get done. So we just have to do them, and just, you got to do it until it gets finished.
Well, or you have to have someone else do them. So the first thing that I do when I start working with someone, and this is all from the process that I had to go through in order to create what I've created. The first thing we do is we look at what their priorities are. For most of us, our priorities are our own self-care and well-being, that of our family, our close social circle, and usually for everyone that I work with, their work is of utmost importance, the change that they're contributing to in the world. So we create a bullseye of those in terms of which is the most, how do you prioritize those in terms of your time and your energy mm-hmm. every week? And then we start to create a schedule for them based on these are the most important things to you. That doesn't mean they need to get the most time. It means they need to go into their schedule first. Mm. So my own self-care and that of my family trumps everything else. That goes into the calendar before anything else. My work, my rescue stuff, my friends, all that goes around those things. And I prioritize my calendar according to those priorities. From there, you get really clear about in each area, what's a goal? So what's a goal for your business for this year? What's a goal in your family? You know, my kid is 16. And she's just at the point where she barely wants to spend time with me. If that kid says, Mom, let's go get sushi. Mm-hmm. Everything else gets wiped out of my calendar for that day, or at least for lunchtime. So we look at what are our goals this year, and then we reverse engineer a plan back from them. So I have goals in my business, I have goals in my family, I have goals for myself, and then I reverse engineer. And those, and then if I'm working with a client, we break those down into bite-sized mm-hmm. tasks and actions and areas of focus, and those each get plotted into the calendar. And then we look at what is going to be most effective in each of those areas to actually move the needle. Because generally, we're doing 100 different things to move the needle, and two of them are working.
So it goes back to that kind of philosophy of this is what I want, or this is the goal, this is the target. and what has to be true in order for this to hit to that mark, right? What do we have to get done to for this to be true? And breaking it down from there. And then as you're looking at that, if you've already got your prioritization, you know, your bullseye of this is how I want life to be, or this is what's important to me. Well, now how do I correlate the priorities to the things that have to get done, where my attention needs to go versus the delegation versus whatever other things that you are, are working for?
Yep. And other things like, you know, people pleasing, like, again, I'm not quite sure how this works with men, but for women, this is a really big thing for us. When people ask us to do stuff, we smile and say, absolutely. Thanks so much for asking me. So with this system in place, you say, hang on a second. I got to check my calendar. I'm going to email you back. You go and look, does this thing actually move the needle in any of the areas that are really important? Mm-hmm. And if it does, do you have the time? Can you fit this in? If it doesn't, thank you so much for asking me. I'm completely committed at this point. You know, please check back next year.
Yeah, my grandfather used to do this quite frequently. I think he was really good at it. When you would ask him to do something, or somebody would ask something of him, he would always say, it sounds like it might be something to be interested, but let me check my calendar first and I'll get back to you.
Yes. And I love that. What a smart man.
I swear he didn't have a calendar, but it was his,
it was his mental.
It was his way to say, is this something that I really want to do? And then he could make a commitment, but it alleviated the forced commitment in that moment.
Exactly. Oh, I love, no one has ever said that before to me. I love that. What a wise, wise man. That's exactly it. Exactly it.
Again, I don't think he had a calendar, but I do know that that was
But he was checking it against something.
He was protecting his time. Yeah, he was prioritizing. Yeah. And most of it was, is this going to conflict with golf? And if it conflicted with golf, then it was a no.
Hey, priorities.
His priority wheel was pretty much golf. Okay.
Golf.
Anyways, so I'm tracking with you on this. Okay, so now we've established this is where I want to get to. This is my goal. This is the steps that I need to get there. Now I've got to prioritize my time because I only have so much time that I can do that based off of the things that I've said that are important. Family time is important. This time is important. My health is important. Whatever. I want to ask you a question. This may be a side deviation, and then we can come back to it. Are you familiar with Google Calendar? This is not
absolutely. That's what I use.
Okay, if this is not an ad for Google Calendar, if they wanted to sponsor the podcast, by all means, they could do that. But they have introduced a thing over the last couple of months called Insights, and it shows you where your time is being spent. So when you log into Google Calendar, it shows. At least it does on mine. Maybe it's just something someone turned on to prove a point to me. But it shows how much time you spend per day in certain categories.
Yeah.
And then you can look at it also on a span of a month or a week or whatever, how much time you're in these certain things, how much focus time you've got, health focus, all that stuff. And so when you were talking about this bullseye and all of these things, it really drove me back to utilizing some type of a tool that makes it very apparent. Because when I look at that and it says, this week you've got 32 hours booked in meetings, I'm like, wow, okay, that's a lot of time that I've got in meetings or whatever the time frame is, and I don't have any other time categorized. It really proves to me where my priorities are being focused.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the time tracking that I have women do often in the beginning is sort of that, but you know, to more of like a few minutes, because there's so much stuff that isn't going into your Google Calendar. Like, you know, scrolling Facebook isn't going in. I personally don't put things like the gym in. So for me, it would be more accurate to actually look at like, okay, every hour, what was I doing?
Yeah.
But I think that time tracking is so important because most people really don't understand where their time is going. We had a client years ago who said, you know, I'm doing what you're telling me to, and it's not working. And I said, well, tell me more about that. And she said, well, I'm doing these time blocks and just nothing's happening. And I said, okay, walk me through a time block. I want you to actually like time the next one tomorrow. And she realized that when she timed it, she was sitting down to work. 30 minutes in, she got up to make a cup of tea. While she was waiting for the water to boil, she had to walk the dog. Her mother called, right? Like she realized that in that 2-hour block that she told me nothing was happening, she was actually sitting at the computer for about 30 minutes. And it was so, but in her head, she had been working that whole 2 hours and nothing was happening. Well, you know, so it's, yeah.
So what types of tips do you give for time tracking? Because I, again, now we just a few moments ago talked about how I'm horribly impatient and systematic things like that would drive me crazy. So to actually track my time, it would be a big task. I could probably do it for about the first day and a half. After that, I'm thinking that I'm going off the rails. What are some tips that you give people on tracking time?
The first thing is you really have to be connected with why you're doing it. Like if there's really something that you want and it's not happening and you are 100% invested in turning this around and making the best use of your time and making this thing happen, then that motivation can often help you to find the way that it's going to work the best for you. I know people who use apps to track their time. I honestly, when I'm doing this, I have, you know, a pen and paper. I mean, I spend all day in my home, so it's not really that hard. But I'll just be like, oh yeah, 11 to 11:15, I answered emails, 11:15 to 11:30, got on Facebook. I'll just kind of manually do it because that's what works for me.
Yeah.
But I bet there are 100 different ways to do it. And the sticking to it is really about, I said I wanted this for myself. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to actually put skin in the game and make it happen. And that again comes back to the K in magic. There's a phrase in magic that is something like, and so it is. And that means basically, and actually abracadabra, which most of us know from Sesame Street mostly, or like there was a cartoon with it, I think. I don't know, I didn't watch cartoons growing up. Abracadabra is actually an old Aramaic word that means either I speak as I create or I create as I speak. I always get it mixed up. And in prison, because I worked in prisons for a while teaching, or in the street culture, there's a phrase that goes, word is bond. Ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Word is bond. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of those things mean the same thing. And they mean that when I speak something, it is powerful enough that it actually is already so. And that involves commitment to yourself and ownership of your own stuff. So if you really want something and you get bored after a day and a half, the answer is really to be like, to bring your brain back to, listen, brain, mm-hmm. we're going to stick with this for a few more days because there's an answer that we need. And we said we were going to do it.
Yeah.
Word is bond.
So I learned something, what abracadabra means. I just thought it was a song from the Steve Miller Band. So this has been a very informative podcast so far. Okay.
Yeah.
So let me jump into this. If I'm the person that is doing time blocking or your clients that are doing time blocking, or I'm sorry, time tracking. So I've tracked my time for this week. What is the result of that? What is that gaining me?
The result is to see where your time and focus and energy are actually going. And I've never had someone do it who didn't have some surprises. Mm-hmm. So it might mean that you see that, you know what, you're actually going to put your phone away in the evenings because it's about, if you're like my husband, it might be like 3 hours, just like, and you say you don't have time to go into the garage and do some woodworking projects. Well, guess what, buddy? You see, you do, you know? Oh. So you're not talking to anyone in specific, but if the words fit, but you know, so you see like, well, this is what I said. These are what I say my priorities are. My priorities are connecting with my family, but I'm watching movies all night long. Mm-hmm. So based on that, you might want to make some tweaks about where your time and your energy goes and look at what boundaries need to be created or what decisions need to be made in order to do that.
All right. So now that we've made that progression through and kind of understanding that, now you see where your priorities are, so you start making adjustments. How does that help you from a time management standpoint on a day-to-day basis? So now I'm not trying to short sell this whole process, but these are kind of the steps we're going through. So now we've identified this is where I'm putting my time. So now I've got to clean up some of those things. How does that help me from a time management standpoint as I'm moving forward? How do I maintain something with that?
Because you're being conscious about how your time and energy are being spent, and they're being spent on things that you have prioritized, and you can see what needs to be moved forward, or how you can see what needs to be done to move forward. So I might see that for those 20 clients a week that I said were a priority, I'm going to want to spend time every week just going back through my emails and seeing who I can check in with. I'm going to want to spend time getting on podcasts. Mm-hmm. I'm going to want to, you know, and making sure that the time, so when I work with clients, we have three different kinds of time in your calendar. There's time in your business, mm-hmm. which is doing things like this. For me, it's working with my clients. directly or doing workshops or classes or sessions. There's time on your business, which means the things that are going to grow your business. So for you, it might be like picking, you know, people to interview. For me, it might be writing curriculum or content or marketing. And then there's time totally out of your business, time off. So in my calendar, I make sure that every week there's time in, which is easy because that's my clients, time on, which can be hard, and time off, which for some people can also be hard. And I'm checking that every week. Is there a balance? Is there enough of each? If there is, I'm getting the things that I want to be getting. If there isn't, I'm probably not. I'm feeling stressed. It's not feeling fun. That's always a big marker for me. Is it feeling fun? Are Monday mornings really happy for me? Because if they're not, then there's an adjustment that needs to be made.
And I'm guessing based off of what you just said, that is a determination that you're looking at early on based off of what I want to be true, how much of those certain things that I need to put time towards. So for instance, if my business is doing $1,000 a month and I want it to grow to $20,000 a month, I also probably am not going to be able to do that by saying I want to put 5% of my time in my business, 4% of my time on my business, and whatever, 91% of my time off of my business. That's probably not going to get you there.
Nope. Right.
So it's got to be realistic, but also you can have the ability to assess it. Okay. And then the kind of follow-up on that is, how often am I reassessing my time priorities?
That's a great question. So I reassess them at least once a year because my client care coordinator, usually every summer, she'll say, what do you want your office hours to look like in the fall? And we'll plan out the whole year. And that for me has been based on my kid's school calendar. I take off any day that she's off. I take off any vacation. We do every other week. I have no clients. So I have 1 week of clients and 1 week totally off clients. Mm-hmm. So it's based on a bunch of different things, but then I'll also evaluate kind of energetically on a much more frequent basis. And the entire barometer for that is, am I loving how I'm spending my time? Am I celebrating Friday? For me, celebrating Friday is a warning sign. I like to celebrate Monday. I want my week to be so awesome that I am psyched Sunday night for Monday. And if I'm ever like, oh man, TGIF, then I'm like, oh, whoop, hang on. Because I should love my whole week. Yeah. So that's my personal barometer for something is off. And I'll usually recalibrate if that comes up.
Looking to make your conference stand out? Send your attendees home with more than just memories. Book our professional portrait booth today and get a fresh, clean headshot for each attendee. We handle all the heavy lifting, from setup and tear down to post-processing and final delivery. It's honestly just that easy. Contact us today to add unique value to your conference.
So we're talking about time priorities. We're talking about self-evaluation, kind of moving through that process. You know, one of the mantras that we use around here is always improving. So kind of focusing on what is that next level of yourself that you need to be working on. And then outside of that, creating boundaries around that. I think that, you know, everything that I've heard you say, I completely can understand and process. It's when I've decided that this, and this need to be done, and then an interruption or an interjection comes in that is, a decision has to be made on how do I fit this in, or can I say no, or whatever. How am I creating the boundaries to say, this is a protected time and nothing can interfere with it?
So there are guidelines about that, because that happens for all of us. And as a single mother with sole custody, it certainly happened constantly, at least for the first few years. The rule is that you can, so the, your priorities create the big blocks, or the, sorry, the big rocks, right? If you think of a mason jar, a bunch of big rocks. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. So your priorities are your big rocks. The rule is that the big rocks can get moved around. They just can't get eliminated. So if I, for instance, this afternoon wanted to go to the gym and the kid needs a ride to Portland to meet a friend, she is a bigger rock than the gym. So I'm going to give her a ride to Portland, but I'm going to look for where I can move that gym trip. So remember when we were little, well, I don't know if you had these, but you know, the little square puzzles that we had as kids where it was numbers and you had to get them in the right order. You move the little tiles to get, did you have one of those puzzles? It was almost like a Rubik's cube, but it was like a flat puzzle and it was numbers 1 through 10, and you had to move them around. They came all messed up and you had to shift them around to get them in order. Okay.
If I keep staring at you, will you keep explaining it? Because this is fun.
No, I'm done. That only worked because there was one tile missing, which is what allowed you to move around the others. Mm-hmm. So we call that just built-in grace time. So you leave pockets of time in your schedule so that you can move things around according to your life, which is going to shift and things are going to come up. You can't delete any of the big blocks. And every week you get to start fresh without kicking your own butt about what did or didn't happen the week before.
Reset every week. I'm just typing some notes here because I think that's valuable advice that we all struggle with. And we've been talking about it in our own business as well, even like from a focus work standpoint. You know, we read this book, Deep Work, a year or so ago, and it really talks about having that designated time to kind of get into deep work. But one of the struggles I think that we found in our organization is getting everybody on board with helping to protect that time or have those respectful boundaries, because especially when you have people that are like impatient and want to interrupt because their thing is more priority at that moment, is understanding how to be protective of the boundaries that other people have set in place for their time to be able to work on certain things for the betterment of that department, that organization, whatever. So resetting that every week, recreating that, understanding that your rocks can be moved, but they can't be eliminated. And what are some other tips on understanding those boundaries or protecting those boundaries?
I mean, boundaries just need to be spoken to. If someone walks in and you're in the middle of something, you get to say, I can't right now. I'll be with you in an hour, or so-and-so can help you. And I think that boundaries get overcomplicated because of a variety of reasons, people pleasing. We want to support people. We don't want to say no. And that's where the K comes in. This is your own work in understanding how to protect your own boundaries and being able to say, I can't right now. You know, if my kid had asked me to give her a ride to Portland at 1, I would have said, I can't right now. I can take you at 3. Or if my husband wanted to talk to me about our third business, I'd say, nope.
Yeah,
but I'm all yours at 4.
Is there any level, and just to kind of tie a bow on this to a point, is there any level of setting those boundaries that it, I guess what my thing that I'm cringing on inside is that somebody's hearing this and tomorrow they go, I'm setting boundaries effective today. And so the next time somebody walks into my office, I'm going to say, nope. Is there a level of setting those expectations up front, or is it just we just all of a sudden turn this light switch on and just tell people to go fly a kite?
Clear communication is really helpful. And I also think that there are other reasons to communicate what you're doing. I think it's inspirational for people around you. Like if you can do it, they're like, oh, wow, he's doing it. I can actually do this. And it's really important to communicate what you need from people. So I told people at 11 this morning, I said, listen, 1 o'clock, I'm doing an interview. Dog's got to be quiet. Nobody can be running around the house. Nobody can bother me between 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Heads up. Everybody in the house knew it, 10 of 1, to leave this part of the house alone. So what I would do is if this happens for clients, like maybe I used to answer Facebook messages on the weekend, we would send out saying something like, Britt has realized that she really needs to protect her time on the weekend so that she can be fresh and all yours on Monday. To that end, effective at this date, Britt will not be answering Facebook messages on the weekend. Yeah. She loves you. She'll see you Monday morning. Your message will just sit there until then. Have a great weekend.
Gotcha. Yeah. So establishing that up front and kind of moving into it. And that makes sense. I appreciate you clarifying that because I feel like somebody might throw that at me very quickly. Okay. So so we're talking about that. We're talking about setting boundaries. We've got understanding our time priorities, starting to identify where we're putting our time. Are there any questions that I'm not asking you and information that you say, hey, this really needs to be shared?
I think the idea that this is a matter of practice, not perfection. Similarly to meditation, you don't try to meditate once and you can't keep a clear mind. So you decide it's not for you and never go back. It's a matter of every single time you sit You have to keep redirecting your brain. This is something that I've been using for 17 years and it still goes out the window sometimes. And I'll, you know, be like, why am I miserable today? Oh my gosh, I have 6 hours of client calls. How did that happen? We need to reorganize this. So it's always a matter of tuning into myself, understanding how my oxygen mask can be on so that I can keep doing the things that I'm doing and giving and growing, and then making the tweaks and changes. So the way that I spend my time changes every year. We just spent 3 months getting my schedule down to 2 days a week. My business will operate from my standpoint, 2 days a week, starting in July, so that we can start to go, full tilt on the third business. And that's been like a 3 month process that we've been getting it down. And then maybe in the fall, when the business is up and running and we've hired someone to manage it, I'll go back to 3 days a week. But we're always tweaking according to what works best for me and what I really love spending my time on in any given moment.
So adaptability is a big factor in kind of constantly reassessing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
I like it. And okay, on that note, I want to kind of sum this up by saying, if someone wants to get a hold of you, you've obviously got a book so they can find that, but what's the best way for them to get more information about you or connect with you on a more business level?
I am shamefully active on Facebook. We run the business and the rescue through it. So you can always Facebook message me just to my personal account, Britt Bolnick. You
except
can also
on the weekends.
Email me. Except, well, weekends I'll do pleasurable personal stuff, but oh. I won't answer clients on the weekends. No, our dog rescue runs through Facebook, so I'm on it. If I'm awake, it's open on my phone. But you can also just email me at Britt@inarmscoaching.com, and I'll respond there too.
Very cool. Well, it was a blast chatting with you today. Learned quite a bit, and I've got some notes to mull over, and can't wait to share this with our audience.
Yeah, this was probably the most fun interview I've ever done. So thank you so very much. I really love the questions, the rapid fire questions at the beginning.
Well, on a scale of one to like a million, you can give it a score.
But you're giving me a scale this time. we're going at about 900K.
Ooh, hey.
Really,
that's kind of that's like a 9 on a scale of 1 to 10. Okay, cool. Yeah. Hey, Britt, thank you for a great conversation. It was a blast chatting with you. Hopefully you'll get the spelling correct on book number 2. Thank you very much for joining us today. If this is your first time listening or watching, please subscribe. A new episode's out next Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. And you don't want to miss it because it's going to be a good one. Lots of good information. And maybe we'll raise our scale from 900,000 up higher. We'll work on that. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time right here on the Coffee Break Podcast.